Hallelujah. Happy New Year. Amen. You can smile. Happy New Year. Amen. Amen. The first words of those hymns are so important this year. Amen. We're asking God to take everything, our hands, our heart, everything, and consecrate it unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. And let it be. Amen.
Amen.
This is going to be a wonderful year. Amen.
Amen.
Exciting year.
Amen.
Man Zion, God really loves you.
Yes, He does.
Because whom God loves, He speaks the truth to.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And truth is a treasure.
Amen.
When you find it. The Bible says, to those that are froward, God is froward. To those that are, you know, manipulative, you know, uses different words, God just lets them do what they like to do. But those whom God loves, He's transparent, He's truthful to them. Amen?
Amen.
And He speaks the truth in love. I have been communicating with different leaders and different people, and I can see people are crying out everywhere. Leaders don't know what to do. It's a cry out there. And I believe what they're saying is, God, talk to us. What is going on? Speak the truth to us. And in my spirit, they say they are not even ready for the truth. Amen? That's why I say we are blessed. Because there are things you hear, and there are things God is doing here. And I believe everywhere else, for those who love the truth, all over the world, that sometimes it's not, God is not spreading it out there until the right season. So this morning, as we begin the year, amen?
Amen.
I just want to begin with some appetizer of the truth for this year. Amen? The appetizer might be very heavy. Sometimes when we eat, that is just enough meal for the day.
That's right.
Amen?
Yes.
And I pray that you'll be able to receive it. And I pray that it will bless you. And I pray that it will position you to make a difference in this year. When the Lord, I like that song, Favor Is My Name. When the Lord is speaking to us about favor, sometimes we don't understand the magnitude and the revelation of that word favor. So we'll be looking more into that word later through these 7 days and as we go into this year. Amen? But the word I want to share with you this morning, I believe, will give us a little glimpse of what favor is. Amen.
Yeah.
I hope you receive it. God will bless you. Amen.
Amen.
It's the beginning of the year, and like this song we sang this morning and decisions were made, is that when you go before the court, you know, you want to serve in a very high position in government. In government, isn't it? Or a judge, a Supreme Court judge. They make them take some serious oaths. And they lift up their hands. And they will make it clear that they will say the truth and nothing but what?
The truth.
Amen.
Amen.
So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for these exciting times and amazing times. Holy Ghost, I have nothing to say, but you have something to say. It's totally you. And I ask that it's totally you.
Amen.
Help not anything of my mind and soul to interrupt you.
Amen.
Have total control, and like a river, flow.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. We ask for understanding and clarity. And we ask, O God, for a heart runs with obedience in doing your will. To you be all the glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read a few scriptures to start with. Let's open to Genesis chapter 6. Let's read from verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination means the thoughts and the intents all day, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he grieved God, repented him that he made man on earth, and he grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, not man, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it grieves or repented me that I have made them. Verse 8. But Noah found favor. Your Bible will say grace. It's the same word in Hebrew for favor. Noah found favor or grace, that is, had access to heaven. Found grace or favor in the eyes of what? Amen.
Amen.
Let's open to Revelations. Revelations 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having a great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful birds. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornications, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out from her, my people. Come out from her, my people. Come out from her, my people. That you may not be partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquity. Verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. Then if you go to verse 20, in the midst of this, God sent verse 20 says, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. God has avenged you on her. What is the reason? Why did this happen? It says, verse 23, the last verse says, for by her sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of them that were slain upon the earth. The word that I want to share with you this morning I've come out of a lot of tears. Not just tears, but wailing tears. Agonizing tears. And I didn't realize I was going to share this until this morning. Last year, the Lord started revealing some things. And after almost 29 years of waiting on the Lord, last year was the first time a little bit of clarity and ears started opening, tuning in to what was to come. And it was like a little practicing process. So the Lord began with little things like the dream I had that I share with you on the day of Pentecost right here. I didn't understand it like you all know, I've confessed that. But later, it has happened literally word for word. Donald Trump will collapse. It was said here very plainly over and over. And also God started giving glimpses from last year when the COVID came down a little bit and a lot of relief came and, you know, people loosened up a little bit. The Lord spoke in that atmosphere. It will get worse in this season, winter, and I shared it here, shared it with so many people, but we have peace. And we discuss with our leaders here, with also prayer leaders, we give a lot of information last year that the nation will go through a difficult election, and used a lot of papers to prove it. That both sides were in a conflict and the nation was divided. And the possibility of a very dangerous moment in American history has come. And the election will be unusual. We'll use papers, newspaper clips to confirm the wars that were coming. And we're living it right now. We also discussed this. Right here, in this meeting we had here with the leaders, and the leaders on the line with intercessors, about the economy of the nation. You see, you can either see things positively. If you put water in a cup and put it, it was full, later it became half. You can see it, either the cup is half full or you can call it half empty. If you call it half full, it's a very inspiring thing. It's encouraging. It boosts your ability to go forward. But if you call it half empty, you're more realistic. And it gives you an awakening to do something and why it's half full. America, you cannot borrow $6 trillion plus 2 point something nice, $8 trillion, almost $9 trillion in less than a year and not believe you've collapsed economically. Because the money is put into the economy when it was borrowed. The money you borrow doesn't belong to you. That's bankruptcy. So I just want to use that to tell you, all the things we discussed here happened literally, and we're living it right now. Well, it was discussed and shared with a lot of information. And then the Lord said, look from last October, a year back, and see the effect and the impact of the COVID. And from October last year to October coming year, and watch what is going to happen. So, what led to God giving that vision of President Trump on Pentecost Day was because there was a cry in this house. People are praying every day. People are seeking God. I'm part of this house praying, and we're all crying for God's wisdom in this affliction, understanding. And the Lord gave that on Pentecost Day. And nothing happened as we continued to pray until the election came and the results came. But before the election was the Feast of Tabernacles. On the Feast of Tabernacles, which we're also praying prophetically to understand the season and where God is going with the nation, with the church, and our lives. The last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Lord gave me just a very clear word about the days of Noah. I shared it online with the intercessors. The figurative part of it, but I kept a lot of things to myself. The next day, the 11th of October, because we finished on the 10th of October, these things, I remember them because they are written boldly on my diary, was the day I woke up that morning and I could not stop a lamentation of weeping over the nation and over the church. It wasn't me. I had no reason to cry. What the Lord is revealing at this season is exciting to me. I know without a doubt, this is the best days for the glory of God and the church. There's no question about it. Very clear in the Word of God how God works with His people in times like this. The people who are consigned are unbelievers that needs to come to the Lord. There's no question about the future of the church. So there was no reason to really cry. But this cry was coming out of my womb. And I was travailing so bad that when Keziah called me, I couldn't talk. And when she came, she could see that. And that travail continued. And I shared it during one of our prayers. Then after that day, we had a young man here that was with us. His name is, he had to go back because the family had a need. His plan was to be with us here and to raise the ministry, but he had a need that he had to be with his family and they have to sort things out. And so he has to go back and walk and be there. the young Indian brother that was with us. We came to the airport to drop him off, going back. And after we dropped him off, I stayed a night back in Nashville. And it was in that Nashville, the message I'm about to share with you came. It wasn't what I'm going to share with you, but what I'm going to share with you is part of the process. And some of it will be coming as we go into this year. This was the first time in my life I've had all kinds of visitations. I've had all kinds of dreams, but I've never heard God speak to me audibly. This was the first time I ever heard an audible sound. And he woke me. I woke up, made sure it wasn't an alarm. I don't use alarm, because I use alarm. And her alarm is what she helps me. I woke up to make sure it's nothing natural around me. The more I listened, it was sounding so heavy on this left ears, and kept on. At one point, I just felt, this cannot be true. Experiences have come like that where, like, I cannot believe this is happening. Similar to when the Lord appeared to me in 2015. Your mind cannot accept it. But it was real. Because before that experience, the Lord was speaking to me about angelic visitation. But I didn't know it was going to be literal. So it was later I realized it was an angelic visitation. And was speaking, and later gave me the interpretation of it. An interpretation is this: the hour of God's judgment on the earth is come. Fear Him and worship Him who made the heavens, the earth, the land, and the sea. Worship Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. That was the word of the angel. And after that, of course, time passes. We're waiting. And you just pray and you wait. You don't just run. But as we're crossing over and entering the year, I've been asking the Lord, God, how do you prepare the people? What do you want to do? What do you want to do with this word? What do I do with it? If the people are not awake after this amazing COVID, I mean, what are you going to say? So I've been just living it. But for Mount Zion, and for as many that will watch this, I want to begin this message of this call of the angel. For what is coming. Actually, we're praying here yesterday, and the word of the Lord came to our sister. This is a year of judgment. We hear a lot here. We take records, but we forget. So let's begin this way. I've given you the background for the wait for where I have to share this. Salt has a purpose, isn't it? If the salt loses its saltness, its purpose, this is Jesus speaking. This is God speaking. It is what? Good for what? Nothing. The moment anything loses its purpose for life, it's no more good. It's useless to God. And it's not only good for nothing, it says, but it's to be trampled under feet by men. I Let's look through Ezekiel in a few minutes. Ezekiel chapter 1. Remember, I read two scriptures to you, because the rest I want to bring out of my spirit. In Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel was one of the first group of people to be taken captive to Babylon. And while he was in Babylon, he had an experience when he turned 30 years old. And it was not just his calling, but it was a time of his anointing and empowerment to become a prophetic watchman and a voice for Israel. So, the Lord appeared to him in the most glorious encounter. And I don't want to say too much, but I've had a little opportunity with that experience when I graduated from the Bible school. A similar thing. And when it happened, Caroline is past now. She was there. I was completely like a dead person. The ushers came and carried me. Four ushers couldn't carry me. I was slipping out of their hands. And they left me. Caroline kept telling the leave. You know, thank God she's in heaven. Amen. Ezekiel had this amazing experience. And he saw the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus. We all want to see the glory of God, isn't it? Ezekiel saw the glory of God. And when the glory of the Lord came, not just God sending some of his angels and the Spirit of God, he came himself in his glory. And Ezekiel started describing it. Up till now, English vocabulary is still messing up that description. But the summary is, everything about it is fire. Everything about his throne and what makes up his throne, called the cherubims, everything around the throne of God is fire. Ezekiel had this experience and collapsed, and God raised him up and said, get up. Of course, spoke to him. Then, all of a sudden, with this experience, everybody around Ezekiel has already run away. And God raised him up, and then God started speaking to him. He said, Ezekiel, I am raising you, Ezekiel chapter 3. I want you to be a watchman for the kingdom of God, for Israel. And he said, Ezekiel, I will give you a word that will come from me. When I give you a word for the wicked, if you don't speak it, they die in their wickedness, you're responsible. But if you speak it, then you're free. If I give you a word to the righteous man, because God said, if the righteous man turns away from his righteousness, everything is done. It's useless. It's gone. Because it's insane or it's backsliding. If I speak to you to warn the righteous man, and the righteous man repents and you've saved his life. But if the righteous man does not and die in his unrighteousness, everything is done, is forgiven. But if you don't warn them, their blood is in your head, you're responsible. Then he kept speaking to Ezekiel about the people of Israel. Not you, not the church. It's Israel. Because the church is, we'll find out. He said, these people are so rebellious. They are so stiff-necked. They are so hard-hearted. But I just want you to make sure you say it, whether they obey or not, but let it be that the word has been spoken to them. That they were not left without warning. Because my people are very hard-hearted. Then as he spoke to Ezekiel, he started sharing with Ezekiel the condition of Israel. And after sharing it, knowing who God is, it's like, in our mind, it's like, oh, God, you know, he said, no problem, Ezekiel, I'll do something. And he told Ezekiel what he's going to do, what is going to happen to Israel next. Listen, my brothers and sisters, something has already happened to Israel. That's why Ezekiel is in slavery. Bad. A nation ravaged, a nation taking. Things are happening. But the people were still in a state that, as God was speaking to Ezekiel, he would not believe. Because God was saying, this is what I'm going to do next. So in Ezekiel's mind, but why would you do something like that? So after chapter 7, chapter 8, if you just keep reading, then he took Ezekiel chapter 8. In Ezekiel chapter 8, God says, I want you to see it with your eyes. And I want you to understand why. He took Ezekiel back in the spirit from Babylon to Israel, Jerusalem. And he took Ezekiel to the temple of God, which is the very essence of the nation of Israel. A people under covenant with God. The only purpose that sets Israel apart, and the very purpose for which they were created, was to reflect God among the nations. And the only way they can reflect God is for God to dwell in their midst. And the only place God can dwell in their midst is the temple. And they were the only ones. And that brought fear of God to the whole nations. That these people have God. The true God. So, God took Ezekiel to this place. Really quick, not everybody has the knowledge you have, or the background. But before I describe Ezekiel chapter 8 to you, which I know those of you who are like the Thessalonian church, Paul says they take time to study. You will study it. The background for Ezekiel 8, my brothers and sisters, started with Moses. God raised Israel out of the world, out from Egypt, a nation to reveal God. And God says, okay, to Moses, the only way I can be with you, dwell in your midst, and walk with you, so that all nations will know you are my people, I will fight your battles, I will make you the head, every nation will fear you. They will know I am your God. Because I dwell in your midst. Moses is for you to build me a dwelling place. So the first thing that was built was the tabernacle with the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, is the only place God can manifest. So Moses had that made. So that's where God stays and God speaks and God works with Israel and the nations knew that. Later, Solomon built the temple and the Ark was put in the temple. Amen?
Amen.
And that's how God became the God of the temple of Israel, and because of the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant is the manifestation of the glory of God. Everybody say the glory of God.
The glory of God.
So, that is what makes Israel, Israel. Now, the temple started getting corrupted gradually. The temple's corruption has to do with the priesthood. From the corruption of the priesthood, he went into the corruption of the people. And the corruption increased, and the whole nation became corrupted. So when the captivity now came, like I just said earlier, God spoke it to Jeremiah and spoke it. So now you understand where things are. Ezekiel now, God now took Ezekiel in the spirit into the temple, which is the very salt of Israel, the very essence of God's glory. Took him into the temple. Amen?
Amen.
When he took Ezekiel into the temple, he said to Ezekiel, I want to show you this. So it's like, just for you to understand, because he can't describe. Let's say this is the temple. When you come into the door there, you see those decorations, beautiful things Cynthia has there. Those decorations, when you come into the temple, the first thing they see is what they call the image of jealousy. Idols already created, made, that has nothing to do with God. But these are idols the nations worship. They were the first thing you see in the door of God's temple. And then when you come inside, God now took Ezekiel and took him into a private chamber and told Ezekiel to go through the wall and see what's going on there. He went in through the wall and he saw the 70 leaders of spiritual leaders of Israel. Inside that wall, they were burning incense to Satan and worshiping Satan in the temple of God. God says, you see what they are doing in secret? He left there. And he took Ezekiel to another level and he saw the women, the leading women of the church, and they were worshipping Tammuz, the god of the Canaanites, and the, all these heathen gods, bowed, crying and worshipping her in the temple. He says, no, Ezekiel, let's go further. He took Ezekiel now to government leaders, 25 of them, in the temple, facing the east and worshipping the sun. Today is called what they call Freemason or Illuminati. The worship of the sun god. It's a Canaanite worship. In the temple of God, it has been converted to satanic worship. But it was still the temple Solomon built, where the glory of fire and the glory of God came. How did it get to that point? Those people will come out every day out of that temple. Leaders will come out of there. He said, these are the people that give counsel. They come out there and they'll tell everybody, God, God, God. They'll follow these rituals, follow everything. But guess what? Jesus says, they have made the house of God a den of robbers. The thief. So, when the prophet said the leaders are corrupt, or the prophet that no people didn't understand what corrupted the kings and the whole Israel. Until God says, I'm about to deal with this situation now. But nobody will understand. But I will let you see this, Ezekiel, so you'll be able to let the people know. Because people will understand. Say, but before I do this, there is a remnant of righteous people who cry to me, who seek my face, who are distant, who what is happening is provocative to their spirit. The abominations of Israel. He says, Ezekiel, this was happening. You know what God did? When we hear the stories, we didn't know that's what happened. So God called 6 angels in charge of this assignment. And Ezekiel was watching. And he spoke to the first one. He says, go before the other 5 and put a mark upon the head of all the righteous, all those who cry and who fear God in the land. And then he told the other 5, go forward and bring judgment. Now, if you read the Bible, you will not see angels or see anything happening. What people saw in the physical was Nebuchadnezzar came back, sent his most horrifying captains, they came and bulldozed Israel to shrubs. They completely destroyed. You saw those leaders? Some of them, their eyes were plucked out. They were caught, killed by the king. You read it in other places, how they, what they suffer. Joachim, Zedekiah, and the other people that now the temple. And after they did that, the temple of God, Ezekiel was weeping and crying, God, why are you doing this? What, you know? And then the temple of God was leveled to shrubs, destroyed. Finally, let me tell you before we conclude on that, why we started that way. The very essence of God, the very ark where God meets. If you watch it, the glory of God came when these things were happening. The glory of God came. The fire brought judgment. From that day, after all that happened, till this day, nobody knew where the ark is anymore. There was all kinds of speculations. The Babylonians probably destroyed it or took it or whatever. Or some people say they found it, it's in Ethiopia or this or that. Till today, if it was found, Israel would give billions to have it. From that day, even after the restoration of the second temple, and after even when Jesus came, from this story I'm telling you, from Ezekiel 9, after what happened, the ark disappeared. After the Babylonians came, never to be found to this day. All the things the Nebuchadnezzar took later to his gods and whatever, he gave it to them. We're doing Nehemiah. He returned some of them, everything. The ark was never found. My brothers, the very thing, the holiest thing, that connected God to Israel, when the people and the temple was defiled, God made sure what was holy was gone. Now, having said that, before we go any further, let me tell you another quick story. Paul wrote to the church, and Paul said something. He said, we who are Gentiles, who God brought into, grafted in by his mercy, we who were not even covenant people, but God has grafted into his kingdom. Amen? Amen. He said we should take heed. Because we're not even the original branches. But he said, if the original branch can be cut off, we should be careful that we don't trample the very blood that brought us into this kingdom. In other words, God is no respect of sin. You know why Paul said that? Because nobody will believe God will cut off Israel in the days of Jesus. Just like the ark is cut off. Why does God take years, sometimes hundreds of years, sometimes 1,000 years, sometimes 2, to plead and beg and beg and provoke and warn nations? Why? Because when the long suffering of God is done, woe to the generation that refuses mercy. This experience I told you, prophets, people cry. Go read Lamentation of Jeremiah. People were eating their children because of famine. It was so bad because they rejected God. And God begged, pleaded, warned, and they were still killing children for sacrifice and doing all kinds of abominable wickedness in the church and the temple. Why am I saying that? I just read to you when we started the book of Genesis. I read to you the book of Revelations. And in the book of Revelations, I read to you Revelations 18. It was about the destruction that was taking place in Babylon. Or the Babylon that most people don't know right now. It was such devastation, pestilence, plagues, destruction. Read it. What was happening? And I just read to you, it says, heaven rejoices. And the prophets will rejoice. Why? He said, because everything you see that is being destroyed is to cleanse the land of the spirit of sorcery and witchcraft. Spirit of sorcery and witchcraft, my brothers, you don't understand. You don't, serious sorcery, serious witchcraft are not done with animals, they are done with innocent babies. Serious satanic powers, whether in Nigeria or America, wherever they rule, is with human blood. And it has to be innocent blood. But you don't see it. You don't know why people have decided, gay, I can be a woman when I'm a man. Innocent people. You don't know. You don't know why judges will sit. Today, as I'm talking to you, we are all subject to an earthly law right now in America that gives legal grounds for anybody, a man to marry a man. It's a law. Where did that counsel come from? Who gave that counsel? God says the leaders of the people. Where did they get it from? From a very special place. Who will fight? Who will defend it? If you speak against it, you go to jail. If you speak it in church, half of the people that don't understand why, ignorant, they will accuse you. When wickedness gets to the point, even the righteous cannot speak. God speaks! So, in the days of Noah, he said, the people have gotten to a point where their minds, their thoughts, everything that they are is being corrupted. It doesn't mean they don't have money. It doesn't mean they don't have houses. It doesn't mean they're not married. They look just like we look and even better. But it says everything about them has lost the purpose of God in them. Jeremiah says, I knew you before you were formed. And while you were being formed in your mother's womb, I had a purpose for you. And the purpose of God is for you to be in allegiance, alignment to worship Him. Even if you don't worship Him, but to morally acknowledge righteousness. The reason God sent Noah unintentionally for almost 100 years, gave him an assignment that would take him a long time to build, was to give that generation no excuse. Pleading with a generation whose 100 years returned to God. And because that generation has been leavened, the poor cannot save them. The righteous cannot save. Nobody can help. The government is in control. Nobody can do anything. Everything has been turned upside down against God. What will you do? Noah kept. God said to Noah, there is only one thing at this point. No man can save man anymore. So what you can do is build me an ark. Build the ark and I will take care of the rest. What is the purpose of the ark? The purpose of the ark is to reveal the glory of God. The purpose of the ark is to bring salvation. The purpose of the ark is, the Bible says, Noah brought judgment, condemnation to that generation and saved 8 people. What does that mean? The purpose of the ark was to tell that generation God did not reject them, they rejected God. Because he made a way for them. My brothers and sisters, the book of Revelation started with 7 churches. And the eyes of Jesus took John like he did with Ezekiel into the churches. I want to show you what the church looks like. Because you look at it from the outside, you wonder why the nations are what they are. I want to show you exactly the position of my church. And he took him like he did Ezekiel in the spirit and was showing him the very condition. Literally, the state of the church then and now. The first one is started. You're doing a lot, you're apostles, you are this, you're that, but there's no connection anymore. You've left your first love. You're still a church, but there's no love. So what are you doing if there's no love? It doesn't make sense. See, John, look at the church. They say they're apostles. They say they are these. They are these titles and these gifts and this thing. He said, but they've left their first love. Do you know what first love means? Means, hey, basically, I said, go back to where you started. It means they are backsliding. They are not saved. Apostles. This is the church, Ephesus, the most powerful, energetic church during the days of Paul and Timothy. Before the Roman Empire started to exist, before John died, this great church has turned apostasy. He left, he said, no, John, let's go to the next church, just like he did with Ezekiel. Because we're not talking about Israel now, we're talking about the church. Let me show you the condition of the church so that what I will do in these last days, you will understand why. Took him to the next church. These ones have already brought a new age into their midst. They've already polluted and watered the gospel. And now the tradition of men has taken over. Calls it all kinds of names. I'm just paraphrasing because you won't understand what those Nicolaitans and others, Balaam and all this. Then another church said they teach the doctrines of Balaam. And all this witchcraft in the church. Perversion. All these things. He exposed it and they made it a doctrine. He took him to another one. Where Satan's seat is. But this is a strong church. They welcome persecution. They welcome what they suffer for the gospel as part of the call. That church had not a blame or a problem. The only thing they were credited was what they suffered persecution. And God was blessed. He took it to another one. Took it to another one. Actually, one church, he says, you are dead. But you say you are alive. Dead. Church. And you say you are alive. Church. When the Ark of the Covenant is not in the temple, it's a dead temple. Because God cannot be there. Dead church. Then he took it to another one. He says, Jezebel is in charge. You know what Jezebel is? Familiar spirits. Anointing, power, miracles taking place. Because he used the word, you tolerate the woman. The woman is basically the spirit of witchcraft. It can be men operating and anointing and gifts and miracles all over Africa, over the world, doing all kinds of miracles, but sleeping with women. He said you sleep. Go read it. Fornicating, living no fruit of the spirit, but the gift is everywhere and people think it's okay. Where can such a gift operate and the character is not there and you think the spirit of God is too? You see, God said to that church, I know those of you that are ignorant of this, I won't trouble you. But I'm the only one that tries the depths of the hearts of men. And I will bring judgment. Then, one of the, you know, you the Church of Philadelphia and the other church, were the only two churches God says, I don't have any problem with you. And each of them had to suffer persecution or wait on the word or tarry it. But then the last church, God of that church is money. If it's changed what money can do for God. And it says we're rich and we have need of nothing. That church, Jesus was not even inside. He was knocking from outside. My brothers and sisters, we just passed Israel. And Ezekiel revealed the condition of Israel before judgment. Now, God is saying, what I will do in the last days, I want you to weigh the picture of the church. And reveal it. What the church will look like. For the last days also. Why is the Lord saying this? Because he turns around, he reveals his glory and his throne. He turns around and says, this is what I'm going to do to bring my church back before I come. And it's judgment, 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 judgment. This is the first Sunday in 2021. God is taking his church back.
Amen.
From the hands of man. And from the hands of Satan. How is he going to do it? I want to say this to you. In the days of Noah, and everywhere all through ages, studied, every time the judgment of God comes, God never judges without first preserving his people. God never does anything without either putting a mark or building an ark or providing food for the 7 years. God always makes a way for those who will call on him, for those who fear him, for those who seek after him. Amen?
Amen.
So, how does God separate worldliness from the church? How does God separate and take his own back to him? How does God bring back purpose to what he has put in the earth when purpose has been lost? This is how he will do it. And this is how, why the revelation is like that. He did it in Egypt. God wanted to bring his people back to him in Egypt. At this point, Egypt has made them slaves to their system, like the church is right. At this time, the church in Egypt doesn't even know who they are anymore. They think they are slaves in the world, and that is their purpose. The church has lost its purpose in Egypt that Joseph gave to them. Joseph's purpose was to give sight, wisdom, and kingdom revelation to the kings of Egypt. They've lost it. Now, their purpose is slavery. Trampled because there's no saltness by the Egyptians. Living in darkness, still called an Israelite. Under the torment and fear of taskmasters, like many today, plagued and still tormented by demonic spirits. That's why, because of the condition of the church. So God says, I'm going to bring these people out at a time back to me. And I'm going to give them purpose again. I'm going to give them myself. How did they do it? How did they separate Egyptians from Israelites? It was through plagues and plagues and plagues and pestilence and this and this. Why he was doing it, he was separating them. He was marking them, setting them apart in Egypt, in Goshen, by the blood. The Egyptians, when it started, the magicians of Pharaoh can do the same thing. Amen?
Amen.
What do I mean by that? The magicians of Pharaoh had a solution to the first three plagues. And because they had a solution, there was not a fear. The Egyptians didn't fear enough. The children of Israel were not afraid enough because Pharaoh was still saying, okay, I'm going to give you more work to do. So what did God do? God went to the next level, started dealing with the gods of the Egyptians, started dealing with Israel. What was the result of that? A lot of Egyptians went with Israel. A lot of the mixed multitude went with Israel. A lot of Israel started having the fear of God. And they were willing to have enough fear of God to leave Egypt. There are people who have so much fear of Pharaoh, they don't want to leave Egypt. You have to have enough fear of God to know that Pharaoh can let you go. There are people still backsliding, living in the world because they don't know the fear of God. Pharaoh will never let you go unless you experience a mighty hand of God. Amen?
Amen?
So that's what God did to separate them, to bring them out. Amen?
Amen?
It was not only just for Egyptians, it was for the children of Israel also. Just like I said, they saw the fear of God. So when the power of God stepped in, the fear of God started coming. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm about to finish. But let me say this before I get to Noah. The COVID has not brought fear to the church yet. The COVID has not brought enough fear to the world. The COVID has only brought worldly fear to the world. I'll lose my money. I'll lose my health. I will die. Not a fear of knowing God or making it to heaven. The church doesn't have the fear of God. They are more still the fear of the world. Oh, COVID will kill me, I'll die. Not even a reality of is God calling me back to his glory, to the power of God, to the faith of God, to the strength of God. Am I really set apart? We still have the fear of the world. Fear of COVID is not the fear of God. So, why? Because if the magicians of Pharaoh had a solution, the world knows that vaccine will give them hope for the world. So the world have a worldly fear. The church has a worldly fear. Why? I've been in so many prayer meetings with leaders of churches. Thank God the vaccine has finally come. Thank God for a worldly solution. That you don't even know if it's a solution. Amen?
Amen.
So, Right now, as long as the church is still looking to worldly solution, we don't have the fear of God yet. As long as the world is still looking to worldly solution, we don't have the fear of God yet. So guess what? God is now about to shake things. The COVID was manufactured by the devil and his plan because they were hasty to start something. But still it has brought a worldly fear. Worldly fear doesn't lead man to repentance. Mm-hmm. They just want to get over it and get back to normal life. Mm-hmm. But the fear of God leads man to repentance.
Yes.
So, what is about to happen 2021? Mm-hmm. We're going to see a lot of repenting.
Yes.
Because it's going to bring the fear of God.
Amen.
The shaking we will see now will be out of the hands of men. There will not be a human solution. And when there is no human solution, that's when humans look to God's solution. That's when men truly become desperate and say, look here, no man, look here, no man, look here, no government can help. Government too are looking for help. That's when the church is positioned for God's solution. You know why we are wearing masks? You know why we are dancing to the world's solution? Because we know the world has a solution. We're going by that. The things that are about to happen is going to reveal the glory of God. Why will the glory of God be revealed? Because we are going to become desperate. Not the desperation of someone say, pray, pray fast. No, 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 no. You, it will come out of here.
Amen.
You're asking, well, let's unite. Let's do. No. You'll be running to prayer. Come to. No. Nobody will ask you to come to church. Church will not be a building to you when you come. You know you're coming to the presence of God.
Amen.
You know why? Because it's got time to bring the people to Him.
Amen.
Not to a building, not to a man, but to God.
Amen.
And it's going to come through desperation. Because this year, we're going to lose men's solution. And good news, we're going to have God's solution.
Amen.
And God is going to be glorified.
Amen.
And God's solution always brings genuine conversion.
Amen.
And genuine conversion brings back the joy of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
That's why I'm excited about this season. Because no man will take the church anymore for himself.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So my brothers and sisters, I want you to understand why God revealed this to Ezekiel and to John was to show the condition of our heart and the condition of the heart of the church. You don't see it. And to show the condition of the heart of the leaders of the world. Listen, the world is going to get darker. What does it mean? Laws, cultures, and things are going to be promoted. You will not even be given the chance to promote Christ. The laws are going to be more antichrist in nature. It's going to get worse. So, if you are waiting for when the government or the people or leaders are going to start doing things that will give you freedom and liberty to go preach and do things, no, 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 you're going to get worse. But the reason it's going to get worse that way, darkness, is so that the light will be brighter.
Amen.
And the glory of God more.
Amen.
So finally, just like I used Egypt as a process of shaking to separate the church from the world, and even those in the world to fear God enough to run to Him. The days of Noah, this is what God is going to do. I just give you a figurative. The ark was prepared before the rain came.
Amen.
My brothers and sisters, people are saying, where is the glory of God? The glory of God is ready. God is marking his people. God is ready. So what is he going to do? It's now, this year, begin the kind of shaking like the days of Noah. But in the days of Noah, they were running to a closed ark and a physical ark. But in this season, the church will run to God.
Amen.
The unbelievers will run to God.
Amen.
But this time, it's not these buildings we're talking about. We're going to literally see God in our midst.
Amen.
The glory of God will be seen.
Amen.
That we are truly in the cloud of his glory.
Amen.
But desperation is going to bring us there. God is going to have our hearts again, not our garments. So, I'm excited, and I pray you are excited. So get ready for 2021. It's going to be a great year. It's going to be the year of the Lord. So, this is the first Sunday. This is the first news. We're going to build on it. But I pray you can begin. If I were you, don't wait. Go into the ark now. If I were you, don't wait. Don't remain in godly sorrow. Come after God now. Give yourself to God now. Surrender to him now. And I'm telling you, God is going to lift you up.
Amen.
This is the time of our lifting up.
Amen.
Finally, what did I say about the days of Noah? Noah found favor. This is the favor here.
Amen.
Those who have found favor, they are going to be lifted up because God has already used them to build this spiritual atmosphere. Amen?
Amen.
So judgment is coming. The glory is coming. Repentance is coming. Harvest is coming. Everything good about heaven is coming. Get ready for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. We'll see you tonight.
Amen.
Father, let's stand up together and pray before Gizan comes. You have given us a way out. You said you always make a way.
Yes, Lord, yes,
when there seems to be no way.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I thank you today that
yes, Lord, yes,
the way you have made is undeniable.
Yes, Lord.
And I declare the very words of the Lord. He says, I am the way.
Yes.
I am the truth,
yes,
and I am life.
Yes.
No man can come to the Father except by me.
Yes.
Father, I pray that the favor that was upon Jesus will be our inheritance.
Yes. Yes.
In this season, the blood of Jesus, a covenant keeper,
yes,
will be our covering.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for your spirit.
Thank you.
That you don't hide the truth from us.
Yes,
the truth sets us free.
Yes.
Father, you have spoken before it happens.
Yes.
That this is your plan.
Yes.
This is your counsel. Yes. This is your purpose. And you've made a way for us.
Amen.
Help us to walk in that way.
Amen.
The fear of God.
Amen.
The way of your holiness.
Amen.
The way of righteousness. Baptize us with humility,
amen,
with meekness of heart,
yes,
a surrendered life to you.
Amen.
Let purpose come back to us.
Amen.
Remove everything that makes us minimize the purpose for which we live.
Yes.
That we don't become wasteful,
amen,
but purposeful.
Yes.
For your kingdom and for your glory.
Amen.
Father, because of your purpose in our lives,
yes,
grant us mercy.
Amen.
And by your favor, we will finish that purpose.
Amen.
And your name will be glorified.
Amen.
Make us a purpose-driven people.
Amen.
For your kingdom.
Yes.
And for your glory.
Amen.
This year.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. God bless
you. Oh.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I forgot the communion because
what?
This is
yes.
Okay. Now, let's this is the first Sunday. And we know that the communion is our covenant. Amen? Is that a covenant?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If you take notice that the Bible says there's power in united prayer. Amen?
Amen.
If you notice why I've been partnering with my wife in this is we are enforcing the power of unity.
Amen.
Over our prayers and over the hands. Amen.
Give me grace to follow, abundant grace to follow. Give me grace to follow, your grace is enough for me. Give me grace to follow, abundant grace to follow. Give me grace to follow, your grace is enough for me. Father, even as we have sung earlier and dedicated ourselves to you for this year 2021, we call for that grace, that favor, that mercy.
Amen.
That will help us, oh God, to stay on the path.
Amen.
Lord, give us that grace to follow.
Amen.
We cannot do it by ourselves. We want to confess today, not the best of our abilities, our knowledge, our education, our gifts, nothing in us can take us to the end of 2021. Only you. Only you. Only you. So Lord, take each of us by the hand and give us the grace to follow you. Just to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we call upon you. We say, take over. Lord, you said in Exodus, you say, I have sent an angel before you. Father, help us to be aware of your presence.
Amen.
And to walk under the anointing of the Lord.
Amen.
So, Father, even as we take of this communion again, we remember what you have done for us. You came, Lord, we celebrated just 2 weeks ago, Emmanuel, God with us. Father, help us, oh God, to continue in union and unity with you.
Amen.
And with one another.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We shall make it to the very end.
Yes,
because
Lord.
Jesus, you're already standing there. Yes. We sang that we are winners.
Yes, Lord,
we ask for your mercy.
Yes,
may none of us fall along the wayside.
Amen.
Lord, you have said that it's the year of your judgment. It's also the year of your favor.
Yes,
may we be on the side of favor,
yes,
on the side of blessing,
yes,
on the side of growth,
yes,
on the side of receiving from you. May we not go in the side of judgment, the side of sin, the side of failure. In the name of Jesus, keep us straight before you. So Lord, as we take of this covenant, we say, Father, help us.
Help us.
We receive the benefits of the death
Lord.
Of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
That says you are with us always.
Yes.
And because of that, Father, we hold on to you.
Oh, yes, Lord.
We remember what you did.
Yes,
we partake of your body and your blood.
Yes,
let the body of Jesus Christ come alive.
Amen.
Even the church come alive.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we are not beating our chests and saying, oh, we are on the right side, others are on the wrong side. Lord, you want all of us to make it.
Yes.
So activate the body of Christ all over.
Amen.
And let life come in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And Father, help us that the blood will speak over us.
Yes,
we receive with thanksgiving.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You can take the Father, we thank you for covenant. Father, Mephibosheth, I was reminded this morning by a word. Mephibosheth inherited the throne because of covenant. Father, the blood has qualified us.
Amen.
And not our righteousness. Mephibosheth was disqualified in every human way. But covenant qualified him back to the seat of truth. Father, your blood has made a way for us through your Son. Your blood has connected us to favor. Your blood has called us sons. Father, anything that has caused us to lose the saltness, your holiness, the fear of God, faith, to lose who we are, Father, forgive us.
Amen.
As his thought regains his strength, restore our soul.
Amen.
Restore us as the light over darkness.
Amen.
Restore us again as the only thing that preserves to us righteousness, not unrighteousness. So, Father, thank you. As we receive this blood, we know it's because of what you have done and not what we can do. So, we thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your grace.
Thank you, Lord.
And your favor.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God for that word. Shall we be seated?